Will you turn with me again to the book of Exodus and the fourth chapter? Exodus chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made the man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." And he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what he shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, "Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, "Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life." And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, "When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, Behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at his feet, and said, Surely a husband of blood art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, A husband of blood thou art, because of the circumcision. The Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. And Moses said unto Aaron all the words that the Lord had sent him, all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. And God will bless to us his own word. Last evening we got as far as the commission that God gave to Moses, that he should go into the land of Egypt with the message of God to Pharaoh, which should ultimately mean the release and the freedom of God's people. We saw the reason why they were in Egypt in such dire circumstances of bondage, and we began to see how God's method of recovery begins with the fear of God, and then the hiding of the child of God, then the nourishing and the instruction of the child of God, so that when they're faced with the greatest of fascinations, the wonders of Egypt and its glory and its wisdom, that man that was taught so faithfully, he counted those bondmen as his brethren and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Brother and sister, that ought to be one of the results of our ministry today, that our young brethren and sisters should be sheltered, they should be taught, they should be instructed, that when they are face to face with that deceitful world outside, they would rather identify themselves with the people of God and refuse to be called a worldling or belong to the world. That ought to be one of the purposes of our ministry among the people of God today. And so we saw this man 40 years, no doubt thinking it was a waste of time, knowing that God had chosen him to deliver Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. And 40 years is a long time, and God left him there because God was watching that man as he moved among a little flock of sheep and got the confidence of that little flock that they were ready to follow him, that he knew the places where he could feed them, and he guided them by a right way. So that when the time is reached after 40 years, and now he's competent and able to deal with that flock and know its ways and its needs and its paths, now God says, I want you to be the shepherd of my flock, and I want you to lead my flock out, and I want you to bring them into a large place, a land flowing with milk and with honey. And we discovered this, that if we are faithful in that which is little, then God can commit to us that which is great. And I presume that's not the right word. I know, brother and sister, that there are too many of the Lord's people, if they just can't stand at the top of the tree to start with, they refuse to stand at the bottom of it. Now, my brother, my sister, don't try to exalt yourself. Don't try to make yourself more important than the other. But I tell you this, if you hadn't got the others, you'd have no work to do. And the one is dependent upon the other, and it doesn't matter who it is. And if I haven't got the evangelist, then I've got nobody to teach. And if I haven't got anyone to teach, then there's no one that the pastor can take care of, and we are all the one independent of the other, then let's be laborers together for God. Let's learn that. And so here this man has proved himself to be faithful among the little flock, and now God looks at that man and he judges him faithful with that great flock. As he's been 40 years with the flock of Jethro, he's going to be 40 years with the flock of God, and he's going under the hand of God to lead them by a right way. And brother and sister, he's described as the meekest man in all the earth. And you will agree with me, there's a difference between meekness and weakness. A tremendous difference. A weak one has got to take the bottom place, because he can't do any other. But a meek one could take a higher place. But out of humility, he takes the lower place. That man could have been great in Egypt. That man, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, could have had a nation under his hand. And that man was rather more prepared to suffer the affliction of the people of God than all the glory that Egypt could offer. And that's the man that is the meek man, and he's ready to take the low place. Brother, you'll agree with me, I'm sure, he was the meekest man in all the earth until the Lord Jesus came. And the Lord Jesus says, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And that's the one that stood in the highest and stood in the greatest place. That's the one that could have prayed, he said to Peter, and 12 legions of angels could have been at his disposal. That one proved his power over a creation, whether it was inanimate or animate, whether it was spiritual or material, he showed his power. And yet that one, he takes the humble place, the meekest man in all the earth. Now, brethren, they are examples that we should follow his steps. And so here's the man. And he's found the pathway in the desert, and there he leads the flock. And I take it, brother and sister, that's one of the proofs of faithfulness today. The way that he goes is the way that the sheep will follow, and it will be the path in the wilderness, and it won't be there in the broad streets of Egypt. It will be the pathway in the desert. As I said, it led to the mountain of God, and there's everything there in the mountain of God. There's the ram caught for the horns in the thicket. There's the meal. There's the very presence of God. There's the power of God. It's all there in the mount of God. And that's where God will confront this man after 40 years. Now, brethren, we did bring ourselves to the parable that though it is assumed and many times assumed that that bush is a picture of Christ, and the burning is the picture of Calvary, and the Lord Jesus consumes the fire, but the fire could never consume him. A lovely thought. But that's not the thought here as far as Moses is concerned. That bush is Israel. That fire is the indignation and the hatred and the persecution of Egypt. But he can't consume the nation because God is in the bush. And that's the parable that God is now teaching Moses. There they are, in the world, in Egypt, and it's the intention of Egypt to exterminate them. They can't do it. I'm in the bush. Now you are the one that's going out to deliver. And then we did come to the thought, take off the shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And this is Ruth chapter 4. It was a custom in those days in the matter of changing and redeeming for a man to pluck off the shoe from off his foot. And that's what the elder one said to Boaz, redeem it to thyself. And he plucked off his shoe. And so here, as far as Moses is concerned, he thought he was the redeemer. But there at the burning bush, God says, I will redeem them.
And Moses is on the vehicle, and there is the changing of place, consciously, that Moses is just the rod, as it were, in the hand of God, and God was going to do the redeeming. You remember, we had a look there at the other side of the desert, and we saw Joshua making inquiry of the angel of the Lord, art thou for us or against us? Neither, he says, but as captain of the Lord's host am I come, take off the shoe from off thy feet, off thy foot, because Joshua was the captain. But now the angel of the Lord says, I am the captain. From now on, Joshua, we change places. It's a matter of the redemption of the land. I go before the people, and I will drive out your enemies. Brother, it's good to know, isn't it, that we're only the vehicle, that the power is of God. Let's learn that. And so he has a right appreciation of God, brother. Can I say this? Can I say this? Let's learn it. You young people, learn this. The criterion of the servant of God is this. In just a few words, in John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God. Now, that is the credential of the servant of God. He doesn't just do it because he wants to do it. No, the burden will come upon his soul in the power of the Spirit of God. And that one will be conscious in the presence of God, like a Moses was. And it will be God that will give him the commission. And he'll go out from the presence of God, there to do God's service. And I tell you, brother and sister, if each one of us could only be conscious of this tremendous, important fact, that we're coming from God's presence into the presence of men as his servant. That's a David, isn't it? That's a John the Baptist, isn't it? That's a Jeremiah, isn't it? That's an Apostle Paul, isn't it? These are the men that come out from the presence of God into the presence of men. It means this, brother and sister, that it's not enough to be intellectually equipped. It's not enough. But it's to have the consciousness of the presence of God and the commission that that one has bestowed upon us. Let's learn that important truth if we're going to be of any benefit to the Lord's people and for God's glory. Now, brethren, he tried to create a lot of difficulties. And he's leading us to this important fact that this man is not going in his own strength. He's not relying upon his own power. No, as far as himself is concerned, he's not able. He'll try to get out of it, like a Jeremiah tried to get out of it. My God had to do the same with Jeremiah as he did with Moses. He had to threaten Jeremiah to put them in the same place as the nation if he didn't do what he told him to do. And brother and sister, it's as well that we have no confidence in the flesh. None at all. It'll lay you down. When you think you're strong, you'll discover that you're weak. But I tell you, if your confidence is in the living God, it's when you're weak, then you're strong. But it'll be the opposite if you go in the energy of the flesh. And so he's got the commission. Come, I will send thee. And then he gets the promise. I am with thee. And then, brother, sister, he has a pattern. And it's good to see this pattern. The first thing is divine revelation. And God gives himself a name that no one had heard of before. I am that I am. And here is Moses with such a revelation of God's purpose toward the nation, and that he's the one that is commissioned to do the work. Now that's the start, brother and sister. Revelation. When it pleased God, who set me apart from my mother's womb to reveal and call me by his grace to reveal his son in me. I confer not with flesh and blood. Now that's the beginning, brother and sister. It's the clear revelation of the permission that God has given. And he goes a step further. And he says, when you go into the land of Egypt, and you meet with the elders of the children of Israel, and you'll tell them, they'll believe you. They'll believe you. I like that. Brother and sister, it's one thing to go, and it's one thing to have revelation, to know that God has called you to this work. But I tell you, it's another thing to get recognition from the Lord's people. Do you know, there are a lot of my good brethren that think the Lord's people and the assemblies have got no sense. Have you noticed that? Oh, they think they've got it all. But I've learned this, brother and sister. If God has given a gift to a man, and that man is prepared to exercise that gift, the first people to recognize it is the assembly that he belongs to. And having recognized that gift, then they'll give room for the exercise of that gift. Now, you young people, will you take notice of that? A local assembly has got more spiritual common sense that you give it credit for. And if you only just acknowledge your gift and only just exercise it, maybe in an unobtrusive sort of way, you can take it for granted. The saints will see it and they'll make room for its exercise. That's good. I wonder if that's the reason why so many of our young people, they don't want to exercise themselves. Because they don't want the assembly to see that they've got a gift. And they don't want to be put to the trouble of using the gift. They just want to sit quiet and comfortable. Brother and sister, my Bible tells me that a certain man called his three servants together. And one had 5 talents and the other had 2 and the other had 1. And the one with the 5 and the one with the 2 came boldly, with clarity of face and with boldness of voice, confident before the Lord. See, here be 5 other talents. Brother, the man with the 1 talent, he buried it, and he was going to preserve it. He didn't want the bother of trading and all the work. It would be better to lie on his bed in comfort and ease. But I tell you this, that's the man that got found out. And that's the man that was cast out. And that talent was given to another. My brother, my sister, my younger ones in particular, will you please, before God, be exercised as to your responsibility in that local assembly. And as that gift is brought to light, then allow that assembly to give it room to be exercised. And so you'll be fulfilling your purpose in the assembly where God has called you to be. Will you remember that? Oh, well, there it is, it's all right. My God has made known his way to me. But there it's another thing, for the saints of God to recognize it. But I'll tell you something else. God said to Moses, when you go into Egypt, you'll find Pharaoh's against you. My, he'll hate you, and he'll do his utmost to despoil you. He'll do it. Brethren and sisters, I tell you this. Not only will you discover that the saints will recognize the gift, but you'll discover that the world will resist you because of the gift. They won't want to give you a place, you know. They'll want to put you outside of it all. And this is what a Moses is going to learn. That though God has made known his mind to him, and the people of God are going to recognize him as God's vehicle, he's going to have a lot of trouble there in the land of Egypt. So it's not going to be all plain sailing. So when I come to chapter 4, I could give the chapter a heading And here are the evidences of the power of God. But when I come to chapter 5, it's exactly the opposite. And I show you the evidences of the power of Pharaoh. So that where we get the one, we'll get the other. Where I get the Christ of God working and walking and ministering, and I see the power of his ministry, I'm not surprised that the enemy is continually upon his heels. I'm not surprised that whether it's the Pharisees, the scribes, or it doesn't matter who it is, or whether it's Satan himself, there'll be resistance to his work. There will, because it's God working through him for the accomplishment of our purpose, of his purpose. Brother, I wonder why we don't get a lot of resistance from the world. I wonder why. I wonder if it's because we are not doing anything for him. Now think about it. Think about it. In the world you shall have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Do we, brother, have tribulation in the world? Do we? Think about it. Think about it. He hath left us an example that we should follow his steps. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Do we get any reviling? Do we get any suffering? Is it because we're not following upon his steps? Is it? You think about it, brother. You think about it. It's all right to talk about these things from the platform, isn't it? But it's another thing to go out there and live it out. And so now a Moses, he's got his commission, and he's been told that the people of God are going to receive him and recognize that commission. And he's been told now that Pharaoh and the Egyptians are going to resent it, and they're going to resist it to the utmost detail. And now he says, they're not going to believe that you've sent me. They say you've not appeared unto me. What credentials have I got? I've only got what you've said. How can I be sure that they're going to accept what you've said if I tell them? And so here we find the first point of divine power. It's the delegation of power. God says, what's that there? A rock. He said, cast it down upon the ground. When he cast it down, it became a serpent. And he ran from it. He said, now pick it up by the tail. And he grasped it by the tail. And it became a rod again. That'll be evidence enough, he says, that I've sent you. But if they don't believe you in that, then put your hand in your bosom. He put his hand in his bosom, and he came out leprous. And I said, put it back again. And he put it back again, and he came out as fair and as whole as the other. He said, if they don't believe the first sign, they'll believe the second sign. And if they don't believe that one, then you'll take water out of the river and pour it upon the ground. And the water will become blood. Will you notice, brother and sister, that God is delegating his power to a man? We go not to this warfare at our own charges. The Apostle Paul says, I will in my infirmities. This is do it. But then, power of Christ rested upon me. That's it, isn't it? Now notice these three things. The first of all, it's the servant, and also the devil. There he is. That's the one that you've got to lay hold upon. That's what Moses had to do. And then the next one is the leprous hand, and is put back and brought out whole. That's sin, and that needs to be healed. And then the third one, he's got to pour out the water, and it becomes blood. That's death. And it's got to be overcome. So here we've got three things that God is bringing before Moses. There's the devil, there's sin, and there's death. And we're not competent, any of us, for these things. None of us. By which these things can be accomplished. Now let me give you a lovely illustration. Right away over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. There are three miracles, brother, three miracles. And the first one is the demoniac of Gadara. There's the power of the serpent, isn't it? The next one is the woman with the issue of blood. There it is. There's defilement, just like leprosy. And the third one is a child of 12 years of age, and she's lying dead. So we get the same three things in Mark chapter 5 as God gives to Moses power over. Now, brethren, I look at a lovely man. And please, let me just enlarge upon this point. Will you notice in Mark chapter 5 it says this and says it clearly. Concerning the demoniac of Gadara, no man could tame him. Concerning the woman with the issue of blood, she had spent all her living upon physicians and could not be healed of any. Concerning the girl that is dead, at our own charges. The Apostle Paul says, I will glory in my infirmities. This is doing. For then, the power of Christ rested upon me. That's it, isn't it? Now notice these three things. The first of all, it's the servant, our old servant, the devil. There he is. That's the one that you've got to lay hold upon. That's what Moses had to do. And then the next one is the leprous hand, and it's put back and brought out whole. That's sin. And that needs to be healed. And then the third one, he's got to pour out the water, and it becomes blood. That's death, and it's got to be overcome. So here we've got three things that God is bringing before Moses. There's the devil, there's sin, and there's death, and we're not competent, any of us, for these things. None of us. We are only the instruments by which these things can be accomplished. Now let me give you a lovely illustration. Right away over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. There are three miracles, brother, three miracles. And the first one is the demoniac of Gadara. There's the power of the serpent, isn't it? The next one is the woman with the issue of blood. There it is. There's defilement, just like leprosy. And the third one is a child of 12 years of age, and she's lying dead. So we get the same three things in Mark chapter 5 as God gives to Moses power over. Now, brethren, I look at a lovely man. And please, let me just enlarge upon this point. Will you notice in Mark chapter 5 it says this and says it clearly. Concerning the demoniac of Gadara, no man could tame him. Concerning the woman with the issue of blood, she had spent all her living upon physicians and could not be healed of any. Concerning the girl that is dead, then the intruder comes and confronts Jairus, her father, and he says, trouble not the master, thy daughter is dead. And here in Mark chapter 5, we are standing in a place beyond human capability. Men have got to stand at a distance. Here the power of Satan is revealed. Here the uncleanness of sin is revealed. Here the result of sin is shown to us. And the whole world has got to stand at a distance from it all. They can't do a thing, not a thing. And into that realm of human impossibility, the Son of Man stepped. That demoniac didn't want to be helped. Will you notice that? Let us alone, they said. What are we to do with thee? We know thee who thou art. Come out to the man. Why, he had to come out. How many you don't know, brother? But a legion can go from 600 to 3,000 something. And they said, our name is Legion. I'll tell you this. There were enough demons in that man to send 2,000 pigs down into the sea to drown. Surprising what men can live with. And even pigs won't. Eh? There in the realm of human impossibilities, possessed by demons, the Lord Jesus had come out of the man. And though there was the resistance, that man was made whole. Can I go again? Now, my young brother, my young sister, my, I like to get it, you don't know. But it's for your own good, your own good. They came out to see what was done, and it says this. They saw him sitting. Sitting. Now, you've never found him sitting before. It says he was in the mountains day and night. Cutting himself with stones, no. But now he had rest. And they could see it, brother. They could see it, sister. That that man was at rest. And then it says this. He was clothed. Eh? No, you wouldn't have found him like that. It says he was naked in the mountains. Didn't care what people thought about him. No, no. But now he's respectable. Respectability is not Christianity. But I tell you this, if Christianity is real, it at least makes the Christian respectable. Respectable. Now will you get hold of that, my brother and sister? Call me a critic if you like. Call me old-fashioned if you like. But brother and sister, there are some habits in too many places where the dress of the believer is no different to that outside. I remember, now I'm a real critic. It was after the morning meeting in a place where I was visiting, and this young fellow, he had a dirty, frayed pair of jeans on. And then he had an old baggy pullover on. And I tell you, if that had been my lad, I'd have dealt with him. But as I was passing by, I heard him say to two other young people, I was at a wedding yesterday. And I bought a new suit for him. A new suit to meet his friends. Well, that kind of a thing. To meet his Lord. Now, my brother, if there's one thing the world can see and see clearly, it's the respectability of the child of God. And that ought to be seen. And the next one is this. He had rest. He had respectability. And it says, and he was in his right mind. He was reasonable. Reasonable. Never had that before. The devil spoke through him. The devil spoke for him. But there he is. He's a reasonable man. And in the light of that reason, brother and sister, when that once demoniac beseeched the Lord that he might go with him, he said, go home and tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee. He was the reasonable man at last. But there's my point. So that now there's a delegation of power in the face of the power of Satan, in the face of the disease of sin, in the face of the power of death. And here's a Moses. He has power delegated to him from God, and he's able to do these things. But my, what a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But after that delegation of power, he's still, he says, I don't feel any different now than I was before. I'm just the same kind of person. I'm slow of tongue. I can't put words together. Expecting God to work a miracle upon the man, you know, and all of a sudden make him an eloquent speaker and put him on the platform there and afraid of nobody at all. Brother and sister, God doesn't do that. But he intends that you should exercise what you've got. If you exercise what you've got, you'll discover that by the grace of God it grows. This man was expecting to be made a bold sort of person right away, that could push everything and anybody up in one side and say, I'm going to bring them out whether you like it or not. And just because he was no different, he didn't believe that God had delegated his power to him. Now listen, my friend, you'll feel just the same after as you were before. It's not your power, so that you can hold it up in a bottle or a box and just apply it when you want it. It's there at the right hand of God, and it's at your disposal in the person of Christ, and God will exercise his power through you. So please, don't be thinking that God is going to make you a wonderful person overnight, because he isn't. Now he says, there's air in your brother, the Levite. I know he can speak well, and so I'm going to take care, and he's coming out to meet you, and when he meets you, he'll be glad. And I'm going to make him your mouth, and he shall be to you as your mouth, and you shall be to him as God. Now look, Moses, who's the one that can make the deaf and the dumb and the seeing and the blind? Who's the one that has control over all these things? Have not I the law? Then if I can make blind and dumb and deaf and see, I can give ability to speak. My, there it is, brethren. Still the same, isn't it? Where are we now, brother? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, aren't we? Aren't we now? There we'll get the limbs. There we'll get the bodies. The body exercising itself. But brother and sister, it takes every member in the body exercising itself for the full growth of the body, doesn't it? Brethren, I saw a man not so long ago with no arms and no legs. He was alive, but he couldn't do anything. He was alive. Brother and sister, I know a lot of assemblies. If they didn't have help from outside, they wouldn't be able to sustain themselves from inside. They were life. Well, there's no ability. That ought not to be. It ought not to be. Let me tell you a story. I used to live right over on the east side of England. And I was at a country assembly. And after the meeting that night, an old farmer, 79 years of age, invited me back to supper. And when I got into the house, I was introduced to his wife. And I was told that she was 4 years older than him. So that made her 83. We had supper.
He said, I'd like you to meet my daughter. No ulterior motive, mind you. He knew who was married, so it had nothing to do with it. I said, I would like to meet your daughter. I knew he'd got four sons, great strapping sons they were, you know, all of them farmers, older than me. But I never knew that he had a daughter. So he took me out of the house and across the farmyard to a little place there by itself. And when he opened the door, it was very sparsely appointed. And just opposite the door, there was a little cot. I thought, dear, dear, dear. He's 79. And his wife's 83. And a little cot. I tell you, it makes you think. So I walked over with him. And we looked down. And there she lay. She was about sobbing. And her head was almost as big as her body. And I looked at him. And the tears were just trickling down his cheeks. He said, she's 35 years old. I can just judge the delight of that man's heart when his wife gave him a little girl after those strapping lads. My, I reckon his heart just sang for joy. But that there was his joy to begin with became one of his deepest sorrows. For that child never grew and could never exercise herself in anything, could never take any part in the family at all, had to be waited on in every detail. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. But I wonder how many tears must fall from the eyes of God as he sees that newly born again soul has never made any growth from that day till now. Don't you think it must be a grief to his heart? You young men, you young women, might it be a grief to my heart. Now listen, listen. I know there was fear in Moses' heart. No, 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 I'm no different now than before. All right now. There's going to be a dispersion of divine power. I'm going to give some power to Aaron as well, and he'll be able to speak for you as you make my mind known to him, and you'll be able to work together hand in hand, and you'll be able to bring out my people into liberty. There it is, a dispersion of power, a distribution of power. And so there's the tongue, and so there's the eye, and so there's the ear, and so there's the hand, and so there's the foot, and so there's the head. And as every one of these members are working the one with the other, God's work is going to be done to his glory and to the benefit of the assembly in which we form a part. Will you get hold of it, brethren? Do you know, 160, 180 years ago, we came out from one man ministry, and I'm going to tell you this, brethren, we're going back quicker than we came out. These things ought not to be. And so here's a distribution of power. Of course, we're not all the hand. We're not all the eye. But he gives the gifts separately to every member, and so we can work in harmony. And so this man is delegated the power of God. This man sees now that there's a distribution of God's power, and Aaron is going to be taken up and used. And so he goes to his father-in-law. He says, let me go back to Egypt. Let me see if they're still alive there that have left. Go in peace. Now, brother, as he's ready to go, God says, now look, those people that sought your life, they're dead. Now, that's a dimension of divine power. And then, he says, this is what you're going to say to Pharaoh. Israel is my son, my firstborn. Let them go that they may worship me, and if you don't let them go, then I'll slay your son, your firstborn, and it will be a righteous judgment. And so now it's death again. And then he's still ready to go his way, and it says this, the Lord sought to kill him. My, I tell you, in the first one, it's death being brought out. In the second one, it's destruction that is being brought out. In the third one, it's discipline that is being brought out. And now Moses is coming under the judgment of God. Why? Why? My, he is a nation that doesn't know what circumcision is. He is the nation that is bound up to Egypt. Bound up to the flesh and all its bondage. And here God wants to bring them out in spiritual circumcision, separate them from these things, that they might be a people under God. Moses, you're not the man to do it. You've got a son that isn't circumcised. And the one that recognizes it first is Zipporah, his wife. And she circumcises her son and throws the foreskin down at his feet. A husband of blood thou art to me because of circumcision. And then God stood away from him. My brother and sister, I'll tell you this. It's no good trying to preach to others if it hasn't had its effect on you first. Hey? You learn the principle of the Lord Jesus. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. And here are the dimensions of divine power. Death to them that stood in the way of his purpose. Death to the firstborn that would still bind his firstborn. And discipline upon that servant who's not walking in the right ways of God. And so it was corrected, and he goes down. Aaron is it. Brother, here's a demonstration of divine power now. Have you got it? First there's the delegation, then there's the distribution, then there are the dimensions. And now here's the demonstration. And so together they go, and they call the elders together, and they tell the story. And it says this, they believe. My, there it is. There's a demonstration of power. My, they haven't seen Moses for 40 years. There, Aaron was in Egypt as much as the rest of them were. They hadn't heard of God all the days of their life, and what they'd heard was second-hand knowledge. And right now, out of the blue, there's a man that God has sent. Oh my, all the arguments that Moses had been sent to God, they won't believe me. They'll say God hasn't appeared to you and all the rest of it. No, 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 it was of no value. It says, they believed. Brother and sister, that's a dimension or a demonstration of divine power. The believing, divine power. And it says this, they glorified God and accepted it as from God. Then last of all, it says, they bowed their heads and worshipped. They heard. They accepted. And they bowed and worshipped. And here was God. Just stepping in suddenly into the bondage and in the ministry. And he presents them with a man. and God demonstrates his power. But as these two men tell the story, the Spirit of God moves. They believe it. They rejoice in it. And they bow their heads and worship. I tell you, brother, I tell you, I reckon Moses, after all that demonstration of power and the ability to do what he can do because God has dedicated his power to him, and to think that he's got a man by his side that'll be able to express in adequate words the mind of God that God has revealed to Moses. My, I reckon he was ready to go right up to Pharaoh and just give him the length of his tongue. But brother, sister, that's just when he met the greatest opposition that he'd ever met in his life. Oh, I tell you, he's going with confidence. I tell you, Pharaoh shattered his confidence. Who is God that I should obey him? I know not the Lord, and I will not let the people go. Oh, that's straight from the shoulder, isn't it? I reckon that burst the bubble a little bit. I reckon that brought him down to the earth a little bit. Oh, it's not as easy as I thought it was. And then he goes a step further, this Pharaoh. And he says, now these men are idle, that's why they're asking to go out in the wilderness to worship gods. Give them more work to do. Let them do it with rigor. Don't give them any straw. Let them go and look for their own. And let them bring out the quarter as they've always done. Instead of listening to vain words. That's the word of God. Vain words. And here is a Pharaoh that would bring the authority of God down to the ground and discredit it. Vain words. And then Pharaoh calls the taskmasters. He says, lay upon them as hard as you can, and don't spare them one little bit, even though they die. You'll bring them into bondage more than they've ever known before, and they'll run to do it, and they'll provide the full quarter of what they've got to do. And my, the cruelty of the taskmaster was greater then than they'd ever known before. And then there are the officers, Jews, yes, over the poor captains. They come to Pharaoh and they say, what are you blaming us for? It's not us, it's you, it's your men. We're ready to work. You won't give us any straw. How can we do it? You're idle. Get out of it. And here the character of these men, these officers, were just discredited, and they were just in the dust. And as they're going back, they meet Moses, and they said, God put all the blame on you. It was better for us before you came than now. You are the man that's responsible for all the increase in our trouble. And Moses goes back to God. He says, why did you send me? Why did you send me? It's worse with them now than it was before. And even though Moses knew the power of God and the demonstration of divine power, he discovered that the power of Pharaoh was a power that had to be reckoned with, brother. Reckoned with. If the Lord Jesus met that, and if the servants of God down through the years have met that, then don't be surprised. We'll meet it today. That's if we're serving him as we ought to serve him. God will delegate his power. We go not to this warfare at our own charges. That's right, the power of Christ rests upon us, yes, but when we go out there, we'll discover there's a greater than a Pharaoh, the god of this world, that's the devil himself. And I tell you, his opposition can be far, far greater than what you can put up with. And it'd send you back home with discontent, with fear and with dejection. And you'll wonder whether you are doing right, or whether the thing's worth doing at all. And so it was a jaded, a dejected Moses that came back after his first interview with Pharaoh. And Moses is self-confessed the loser. And I reckon Pharaoh was just beaming when that man recoiled in defeat. God hasn't finished with him yet. We'll have to leave that till tomorrow night. I was asked, was I going to get the children of Israel out of Egypt tonight? I said no. And I doubt whether I'll be able to get them out of Egypt tomorrow night either. But nevertheless, they come out. So will you remember that then? He is a man. And God has appointed him to be the deliverer of that nation. And God has commissioned him to do the work. He's delegated the power. He's distributed the power. He's shown him the dimensions of the power. He's given him a demonstration of the power. And he goes in with every confidence to a Pharaoh. And Pharaoh shows him his power. And he makes the situation far worse than it was before. So much so that a Moses has gone back dejected, defeated, and amazed. Well, we'll leave it till tomorrow to see the answer. I trust that God will bless his word. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we bow before thee in that worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray that thou wilt bless our meditation in the sacred page. We ask that thou wilt write these things upon our heart, and that thou wilt give to us a burden in the work that thou hast called us to do. Whether it's seemingly great or whether it's small, we pray, our God, that thou wilt help us to faithfully serve thee in the capacity that thou hast called us to. And we pray, O God, that we might be free of the bondage of a world, that we might be thy free servants, that we might glorify thee in our bodies and spirits, which are Christ's. Help us, our God, to realize that thy power is at our disposal, and in the face of the power of the wicked one, thou art greater than all. And we ask thee that we might be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now we do thank thee again for the help. We pray as we go our separate ways once more, thou art keep us in the way that we go, and to thee we shall give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.